Oh, you want it, don't you, Georgie? Oh, of course you do. And there's cotton candy and rides and all sorts of surprises down here. And balloons, too. All colors.
Do they float?
Oh, yes. They float, Georgie. They float. And when you're down here with me, you float too!
It's Mixed on the Beat.
See what you can do.
V-Suit back again. E-Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. This is episode 60. Today we'll be talking about TV, including Nez on the Throne, Game of Thrones, Twin Peaks The Return, Room 104, Difficult People, Get Shorty, Flaws, and The Mist. Movies including Annabelle Creation, The Dark Tower, 1990s It, and Open Water 3, Cage Dive. And as always, the week in sports, the week in Funko and collecting, weekly Star Wars moment, and our weekly random movie and song recommendations. But before I go any further, he's just been hanging out in Flea Bottom, making weapons. He's back! It's the Nez!
Yo, what's up, everybody? Yeah, man, let's just get right into this.
Yeah, let's get into it. That was a little Gendry shout-out, Game of Thrones. So, you want to start with Thrones?
Yeah, let's kick that off. Oh, man. Episode was good, but it wasn't as exciting as last week. So,
what we had this episode, what I found interesting, was so many characters moving around, and they used to take time to get places, but right now, like, they're so story focused, they're like sending people all over the map.
And it's just, how long does it take to get to these places? I mean, they must be flashing forward like weeks.
They are. Yeah, they are. Which is fine with me. Just keep it moving. But so let's see. What do we have? I guess, obviously, spoilers. Spoiler warning, as we always do, all the way up to the current season of Thrones. Did you notice when Daenerys landed in front of Jon Snow, Drogon had to seem to have a little bit of a connection, further cementing that, you know, Jon Snow, he's actually a Targaryen descendant also.
Yeah, because I guess there was something going on that I kind of looked over until I read this article. When Gilly was talking to Sam, they were talking about annulments and all that.
Right.
Sounds like Jon Snow is more than who he thinks he is, so... That's going to be cool. I mean,
right. He's Stark. Yep. He's Stark. He's Targaryen. And he's the true heir to the throne. And this is crazy. In the whole family tree of it, Daenerys would actually be his aunt.
But we'll see where that goes, man. I'm sure she's not going to be too happy, but I mean, the way this realm is going, or this whole universe, I mean, she's going to have to just, all right, I'm going to have to bow down to you. So, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe she will, or maybe she ain't having it. But we'll see. Because I don't think, that connection that John and the Dragon had. I mean, I don't think he'll roast him or anything. So, but I don't know. We'll see. How many episodes do we have left?
Only two this season, and we're headed into a big one. It looks like they're kind of teased it the whole. I saw the fan community is jokingly saying it's like the Avengers. You got Jon Snow, Tormund, the Hound, Gendry, what's his name? That just had the grayscale. Mormont, Jorah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All them headed. Yeah. Avengers Assemble.
I don't know,
Speaking
man.
Speaking of, you got to watch the show all together. So for you, he wasn't gone as long, but that was my little tease for you in the intro. I gave you the Gendry intro. They've been joking about it for years in the Thrones fan community that last we saw him, he was rowing away, and now he's finally back.
Which one was he?
The Onion Knight. Went and saved him from King's Landing. He was making weapons.
Oh, okay.
And then when they tried to leave and, like, the soldiers, yeah.
Because I don't even remember this guy.
Right. Yeah. It makes me want to go back and watch the earlier seasons again.
Man, they had to regulate on those soldiers because once Tyrion rolled up on them, they were like, and that because they were pretty much ready to row off, but then the guards saw Tyrion and they started questioning him, right. And then they had to take him out with a hammer. But that guy was pretty quick with the hammer because I was thinking that I'm sure that's way heavier than a sword. To swing around, but because that all the weight is in that just at the tip, but he knew what he was doing, so that was cool. I liked how he just smashed their faces and then they just rolled out. So, and that was another question: was there another ship somewhere, or did they roll all the way from Dragonstone?
There had to be another ship, right? They couldn't have rowed, right?
No, they'd have been rowing for years.
Yeah. But they're just moving past that, so that's fine. As long as they're moving the story along, it looks like we may have what they call a stop in the war, possibly a armistice, and Cersei's going to try to use that to her advantage since she knows she can't beat Daenerys with force. She's going to try to out-sneak her while they're busy with this White Walker war, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I mean, everyone's being sneaky all of a sudden. They got to change up their strategies because after what happened last week with the dragon, I mean, there's like, uh-oh, we got to rethink this. Especially Jaime. I mean, he seemed like he was scared. He knew what was going to happen, and it seemed like he was ready to die. To try to take out Danny,
sure.
But what's his name?
Bronn.
He saved him. So, but then he was even trying to school him. Like, what are you doing? But I mean, I think Jaime's at that point where I don't think we can win this thing because he was trying to tell Cersei, and she was like, "Nah, I got another plan. We'll be all right." And I'm like, "Whoa!" So, we find out she's knocked up again, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yet another Joffrey on the way, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I don't want her to die, but I kind of think she might come to an end before this baby is born. Or who knows, maybe the baby will be born and then the show will be over. And then a couple years, they'll come back with another one and it'll be the story of that kid trying to rule. But I don't know. We'll see. But I like what's going on. I like the fast pace of everything because, yeah, we're just coming down to the last two episodes. I hope they're, like, more than an hour, these last two. I mean, because if you're just going to crank it out into 2 hours, I mean, that's they're going to jam so much into it. And that's going to kind of suck because it's just going to, then we got to wait a whole nother year. So, but I don't exactly. know. We'll see.
Yeah, it looks like next week is, like I was saying, the Avengers War. You've got Jon Snow and Tormund and Gendry and all them trying to capture, like, I don't know if they just need a white, which is like the zombie, or they actually want to capture a White Walker. Like, I don't know how they're going to do that. In the preview, it showed them, like, running at one point, like, almost like they might have one. But I have no idea how they're going to do that. Oh, yeah, the Lord of the Light, the Brotherhood Without Banners is with them, too. Did you see in the preview his, like, sword light up? That was pretty cool. Flamed up. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And I like how Sam is just getting fed up. And he said,
oh, yeah,
I had enough of this. I got to go. Because he seems to be the only one that's truly behind what's that order called that he's at?
It's like the Maesters where they train and stuff. So he wanted to do that forever, but yeah, you're right. He's fed up with that. He also, remember the news came into the Maesters about Daenerys burning his father and brother, but he doesn't know that still.
Yeah, I mean, they just didn't tell him. Maybe his mind would have changed, but I don't know. I just think he didn't like how they were. It seemed like they were just the guys all at the table were just like in a knitting circle and just
right,
just gossiping about this and that. And Sam was like, you know what, F this, I'm out of here. But man, his dad and his brother, man, they went out like champs, man. They weren't going to kneel. I mean, they were going to we're just going to accept our fate, and I'm sure they died quick because that was a full blast right in front of it. So,
yeah,
that was pretty cool. I like that part.
For a second there, like, they had me wondering, like, was the dragon gonna eat him? The way they had the Dothraki kind of like bring him to the side, I was like, is he gonna eat him?
That's what I thought too. I was like, yeah. All right, that'd be cool. But, man, I just like the roasting of the fire. I mean, I think that'd be quicker. I mean, sure, they felt a little heat and then died instantly. But because if you're getting chewed up by a dragon, you're going to feel that until until you die. So
exactly.
But everything that's going on right now, I mean, and this shit with Littlefinger, man, he just... He's being sneaky, and Arya, I mean, she noticed that right from the get-go. I mean, this guy's, I can't trust him. So she started following him around. And but he's sneaky, too, because he set her up. He knew what was going on.
Exactly.
It made it kind of seem like she was real sneaky and she was real cool and not getting caught. But I just have that feeling he knew she was there because that look on – I mean, every time you see him – the look on his face, man, it just looks so sinister, like I got something more up my sleeve, so don't make me pull it out. And he just seems to pull it out every time. He's just trying to play everyone. Out of everybody so far, I mean, we've said it before, he's playing the game right. He wants to run the show, so he's just doing what he has to do to survive. But I mean, I hate him, but I like his skills, so... But we'll see. If he dies by anyone's hand, I want to see Arya kill him.
Right. Well, I'm guessing next week one of those Avengers characters out beyond the wall, they're going to meet their end. Obviously, I have no idea who because it hasn't been written. But, I mean, you're going against the White Walkers. It's probably going to be the end of somebody, you know.
Yeah, I don't know who, man. It seems everyone seems cool. As long as it's not...
Not Jon Snow.
No.
But
the Wildlings guy. The redhead dude.
Oh, Tormund. Yeah. I could see that.
No.
I could see them.
Not Tormund. Him. Not yet, man. Let him go to the end and die. But I hope it's not him. But I think
I don't know. You would think he has to see Arya again, right?
Yeah, I think... they're going to have to battle again. And I think him and Brienne's going to have to fight it out because it seems like he ain't forgotten that.
Right.
So, I don't know. But I liked how Tormund was the big woman coming.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, man. But, yeah, man, it just all everything that's going on, man, it sucks that there's only two episodes left because it seems like it just started. And
right.
It's already coming to an end. But I don't know, man. We'll see. But, yeah, we'll come back next week with what's coming next. Hopefully it's a long episode, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be. So, moving on. I'll just briefly touch on Twin Peaks. It's also coming to an end, probably for good, too. It took them 25 years to come back, so I doubt they're going to continue. But, man, I've just loved it, and last night was another awesome episode. You had all kinds of payoffs and... I'm just looking forward to hopefully one of these days you can jump on board and we'll discuss it in depth.
Yeah, we'll see. I still got to zip through the first season again, but because I just totally forgot. I forgot all that happened. But The Mist, it's coming down to the last, I think, two or three more episodes. I'm not fully sure yet. They say it at the end of the show, but I don't remember. I know it's either two or three. I think it's two, and then the season's over with. So, and like I've said before previous weeks, man, they just show me some monsters or something, but it seems to be there's not going to be what we've seen already that was in the movie with all these monsters from different universes. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I mean, everybody's getting past to the point of being on edge and just basically ready to burn everyone at the stake because everyone's getting mad about this and that, dumb little things. We find out in the beginning, I remember I mentioned that there was a girl that got raped by the like star quarterback or something of the football team. And it turns out that the guy that was being accused was like, I didn't rape her. We find out that it was true that he didn't rape her. It was someone else did. It was one of her friends. It was actually the gay boy of the show. I can't remember his name, but there was a scene in this week's episode where his dad was just like, I hate you. I hate you. Your mom hates you because you're gay. I think. When he drugged the main girl, I'm sorry, I don't remember everyone's names, but he had drugged the main girl at that party and he didn't want, I guess, her first time to be with this little asshole quarterback kid. So he drugged her up and there was some pills that his mom takes. So he took some of that, roofied her drink. She passed out. Then he went in there. I don't know if it was to see if he was like, maybe I'm not gay or no. I'm not sure. This is how I took it. I mean, so I don't know. I wasn't sure if that was a reason for him doing it other than him saying that I didn't want that guy to be her first and all this. But when he told her dad that, her dad found out what was going on and his dad was just pissed. And that kid, man, he... A lot of stuff because they went into that boy's house. He wanted to get some stuff, and then his dad was actually still alive in the house. And at first, I was sometimes the mist in this show is it would mess with your mind. So I thought that's what was going on. He was just seeing stuff, but his dad was actually still alive, held up in his house. And he found out that his mom was dead. That she was. She was laying on the couch and it looked like something attacked her face, but the dad just didn't want to put her outside or anything, so she was just laying there rotten on the couch. And I'm sure that house stunk, man, because she was already like almost green. And I was like, oh. And he was just sitting there like nothing was happening, and he was sitting there eating his dinner. I was like, I don't think I could eat with some dead body rotting on my couch. But yeah, I mean, this show is more about how people can get in a crisis. It's not about monsters and everything. So, but Like I said, I think we're coming down to the last two episodes, and I'm just hoping for monsters. If there's not going to be monsters, they better explain why there isn't any. So, but I don't know. I mean, I'm at the end, so I just got to finish it out and see what happens. But this show goes up and down. Sometimes it's hella good. Sometimes it just gets really weak. And right now it's at the good point. So hopefully these next two episodes are good all the way to the end.
Right. Yeah, I caught a comment. I can't remember if it was Lance or Brian saying, like, you were a champ for sticking with the show.
Well, I had to, man. I just wanted to see because I love the movie and the whole Myst story in general. So I just had to see what was going on because there's not much on TV right now. I mean, there's this other show called Blood Drive that I haven't. Everyone's going off about that. I haven't sat and watched that one yet. And there's also this new one that just started. I'll probably start watching this one today. It stars Jessica Biel. I think it's called Sinner or something. But from what I understand, and everyone's saying it's really violent and all this, so I'll check it out. I found it. It's out there. So I right. found it. And I think only one episode has happened so far. So we'll see. Yeah, next week I'll talk about that one. But
sounds good.
One more quick show. Difficult People. I just found out. I didn't because since I got Hulu, I thought they were like Netflix. As soon as their season comes out, they throw out every episode. They put out 3 episodes, I think, every week or something like that, because it just started. So I got through the 3 episodes. I was trying to look for the next one, and I was like, "What is it? There's only 3 episodes this season." And then I noticed it goes new episodes every Tuesday. So I'm like, "Ah, week." So tomorrow, I assume they're dropping 3 more. So I'll have 3 more. Then I gotta wait a week. So. But the show's awesome. It's funny. I was just a little disappointed with that thing, but
right.
I kind of think that. I mean, that it's cool. You don't rush through it really fast. You got, they're making you wait. In a way, I was like, oh man, I was mad. But then I was like, all right, that's cool. So I won't zip through it so fast. I mean, because Netflix, when their series comes, they just throw the whole thing on there. You zip through it so fast, yeah, it's awesome show. It's funny. Gotta wait tomorrow for we're recording this on a Monday, so tomorrow will be a Tuesday and new episodes. Well, actually, midnight tonight I'll be able to watch one. So if I'm up and I remember, I'll watch some more Difficult People.
All right, a streaming service I always forget I actually have access to is Epix. And they have a PlayStation app, so I was messing around with that. And they just threw up a new show, Get Shorty, based on the 95 movie and the novel before it. It's pretty much the same premise, just the idea of a kind of, you know, guy that's involved in the world of crime, a gangster. He gets intrigued by the idea of getting involved in movies and in Hollywood, and gets into that. And I thought it was all right. You could tell the production value is a little lower than if it was on like a HBO or something like that. But I liked what I saw so far. They have 3 episodes up, and I got through that. It has the main 2 people in it, Chris O'Dowd and Ray Romano. Everybody loves Raymond. Yeah, I like what I've seen so far. You know, it kind of fits kind of that genre that I'm always drawn to, the, you know, people getting involved, you know, in crime. And this is kind of the reverse of it. Instead of people getting involved in crime, it's like the guy that's involved in crime wanting to get into Hollywood, basically. So.
Yeah. What was that? You got cut off at the very end.
Oh, no, just, yeah, Get Shorty. I don't know. I was messaging you that I only kind of remembered the movie. I saw it was available on demand, so I threw it on last night and kind of got a refresher just to compare the two. And they are different. They're coming at it from different angles. I'd say the Travolta character is a lot more confident in the movie than Chris O'Dowd is kind of playing that same kind of character in the TV show, but he's a little less like confident than Travolta was in the same role. So, I mean, from a character perspective, not actor. But
I didn't like the movie either. I didn't like Get Shorty, and I didn't like the second one. Because this just when these movies were coming out, well, when the first one came out, it was when Travolta was on fire, when he just, after Pulp Fiction, and every role he was doing was like, just everybody was, he's back in the spotlight. But I was like, all right, cool, another Travolta movie. So I sat down and watched it, and I was like, yeah, that was all right. And then when the second one came out, I remember it was on TV, so I watched it. Nah, I didn't really care for either of them.
Okay. Yeah, I have, you know, it's pretty much what the movie was doing is what the TV show is doing. So, you know, it's out there if you check it out. Just real quick while we're talking about epics, so we won't come back to it during movies. They have Arrival and Allied, that Brad Pitt movie that came out at the end of last year. They have both of those up, so. Want to check out either of those.
On what channel?
Epix. It's on the PlayStation. You have access to it. So.
Okay. Yeah, I want to check Arrival out because people are ranting and raving about it, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, kind of like I was saying when I first saw it in the theaters. If they hadn't hyped it, I think it really would have helped Arrival, and if it had been like not cast like Renner and Amy Adams, if it had like unknown actors, like, and they didn't hype it, I think people would have appreciated it more. But they built it up as like a big movie, and it's not like a big movie. It's like a small movie. It's kind of like an arty thinky movie. So yeah, anyways,
all right, this next show is a show, it's a TV show that's on HBO that the Zisu here got me to check out. I had no idea their episodes were only 30 minutes, but this is a show that I think it just started, 2 weeks ago? Or no, 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, yep.
Yeah, and this is Room 104. This is the synopsis. Set in a single room in an average American hotel, I think it was more of a motel, but anyway, telling a different story of the assorted guests who pass through. It's kind of like Twilight Zone-ish. The whole show takes place, each episode takes place in this room, 104, so you kind of just get past that. At first I was kind of thinking, how are they going to do this in the same room? And the three episodes, man, the last third episode was okay. But the first two episodes were hella good. I really liked what was going on. This show's like super new, and you know how we usually spoil things, but I don't want to spoil anything for this show. So, I mean, I think you guys should all check it out if you got an HBO. Or I'm sure it's out there somewhere on the internet, so look for it, but it's definitely worth a watch. If you're a Twilight Zone guy or gal, I think you'd really enjoy this. It kind of had a what was that one movie with Mr. Pink? Not Mr. Pink, Mr. Orange, and Madonna, and Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez, and some other directors. Kind of like that bellhop in that hotel.
I know what you're talking
about. Four rooms. I think that's what it was called.
Okay. Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that at first because, I mean, it's it doesn't have, it says comedy drama. Yeah, but it was that first episode was a little
horror-ish.
but it was, and then, but then it was kind of like a thriller, and then it was a little, there was some comedy in there, and then that last episode, maybe I was tired and I need to watch it again, but I was kind of like, eh. It was all right, but but yeah, man, everyone do check out the show because I liked what was happening with these first three, or with these first, the first two episodes. Third episode was all right, but who knows, maybe you guys probably like it more than I will. I did, but check it out, Room 104, and it comes on HBO on Friday nights.
Yep, like 11:30 at night, but that's what, 8:30 for us in the Pacific time zone.
Yeah. All right, yeah, man. Chev, you guys, if you guys haven't yet, check out Room 104.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll probably, once they finish their season, we'll probably come back and talk spoilers for it. Because, yeah, it's definitely a show that can be spoiled. Another show I compare it to is it's a little Black Mirror-like. Well, you know, Black Mirror was Twilight Zone-like, so anyways, yeah. The last show I wanted to quickly mention was Claws. I talked about it once before, but then I let the episodes stack up. So over the past week, I've just been kind of catching up with that. And I like what I see. It also is one of those well-meaning people getting involved in the crime world set in Florida. These girls with a nail shop, they're involved with the Dixie Mafia, and it has what's his name, Dean Norris, who played Hank on Breaking Bad. He's actually the crime boss in it. Like I said, I brought this up before, but I like what they did with it. It's pretty soap opera-y, and there's one thing in general, I'll kind of dance around it, but it was definitely kind of a stretch, but it was like a shocking story point. But I don't know. It's enjoyable. It's an enjoyable show, an enjoyable watch. You can get it on demand if you have access to whatever satellite, cable, whatever. TNT, their on-demand thing, they have, make it available everywhere. And they have all the episodes up if you want to check that out. So, yeah. That was the last TV show I had.
All right. I haven't checked anything out. Room 104 is the newest thing that I've watched. Next week, more of as soon as we finish up, coming to the end of some of these TV seasons, summer season TV shows, Sinner, I'll definitely talk about that. And we'll come back next week with more TV. Rolling into movies, we'll start off with you. What did you see? Because you saw some movies I already saw.
Dark Tower. We don't really need to get into it. You covered it mostly last week. The only thing I wanted to bring up was the Stephen King references, of which while I was watching, I only caught one, and it was the Pennywise and the clown sculpture with the balloons. When they were in that one area, it was kind of misty. I caught that, but I didn't catch anything else. And I don't know if you saw that list. There's a list going around the internet. If you do Dark Tower Easter eggs, you can probably easily find a list of what there was. And it's crazy how many there were. Have you seen that list?
Yeah, I had caught a lot of them, but I didn't realize it until later on. The first one I caught was the Overlook Hotel from The Shining. Because they showed a picture on a little coffee table, like really quick, and I wasn't unsure, because I wasn't looking for Easter eggs or anything, so I was sure. They show it really fast, but then I was like, was that the Overlook Hotel? And I had to text my buddy real quick, and he was like, yeah. And after that is when I started noticing other things. If you haven't seen it yet, and you see it if you want, in my opinion. Look up a list of Easter eggs before you go, if you like type of things. Look up the list. It doesn't spoil anything for you, but it'll just kind of keep your eye open for the list of things that are out there.
Exactly. My last thoughts on it was, I did like it. I enjoyed it. But it's also another movie that I don't think it lived up to, like, blockbuster expectations. I think it was yet again the star power of like McConaughey and Idris Elba. Had it been like other actors and they didn't hype the movie, it might have been more well received. I know there's a lot of people that are more familiar with the novels and books that are probably not happy with it for reasons that relate to the book, but I'm unfamiliar with it, so just coming at it just from a straight movie. It did, I think you kind of mentioned that it felt like kind of almost like a 90s action fantasy movie, and I definitely got that vibe, so I enjoyed it for that. But I could definitely see the issues that people have with it.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that they just jammed too much into it. I mean, so, man, that's...
Right.
But, yeah, I'm going to put up a link to the Easter eggs on the Facebook page. So if you guys don't want to search for it, just go to a E-Society page and look it up there. It's all there. It looks like someone threw a video together, too. But was there anything else you saw?
Yeah, that was it for movies. Like I said, caught Arrival again. So, yeah, and I already mentioned that, so I don't need to get back into that. But, yeah, that was it for me.
All right. I saw two new movies this week, and I watched the old one. While we're on the Stephen King thing, I watched It, the original one. It came out in 1990. My wife wanted to watch it again, and my son, the youngest son, Eric, he kind of knew who Pennywise was, but never seen it. So, we only watched the first half because this new movie that's coming out next month is only the first half of the story, when they're all little kids. So, we watched that. I think that to me, that's the only part that still holds up, with this whole, It miniseries. The second half, I didn't really enjoy it the first time I saw it, when it originally aired. And then I'd watched it again a few months ago, and that second half just kind of just dies with this movie. So I'm hoping the second movie that we get doesn't just be weak. Don't put all the scary stuff in this first half, because it seems like that's what they did with the TV show. They put all the scary stuff in the very beginning, and then it kind of just slowly went downhill. And then when it got to the end of the movie and the miniseries, it just rock bottomed, and it was just like,
right.
I sat through 3 hours of this, and this is how you end it. But yeah, the first half was good. I loved it. I mean, it was cool just to see it again. I mean, just watching. And every time I see John Ritter, we lost him a few years ago, and I just like, oh, Jack Tripper. Three's Company, but
yeah,
it's good just to see him on screen, as well as pretty much the whole main cast, man. We even had a young Seth Green, he was in it, so that was cool. And then there was another young actor that passed away. I remember he was in Sidekicks with Chuck Norris, but there's other people in there that you see. Venus Flytrap from WKRP in Cincinnati, for you older viewers of that awesome TV show. But It, the first half of the movie, the 1990 version, it still holds up. It was scary. It kind of creeped out my son a little, and he's kind of excited to wait to see what this new movie brings us. And I definitely am so hyped up for it.
Super scary.
Yeah, the next movie that I'm going to talk about is Annabelle Creation. They had a screening for it at Comic-Con. I didn't get down there in time for it, but they showed a special sneak peek of a scene, and it was the actual scene that was when Georgie encounters It. It's a classic scene. They showed that scene in the trailer, and if you've seen the original movie, you already know the outcome for Georgie. But it was cool to see that, because I was unsure of this Skarsgård kid playing Pennywise. But this scene that they showed, they showed it at Comic-Con, and then when Annabelle came out, they showed it, because I saw it in the theater, and it was cool that they showed that scene. Stephen King comes on. He kind of gives this little brief introduction and how he's excited for it to come out, and saying that this is probably one of the best film adaptations for one of his books. So who knows? We'll see. But it was cool, man. I'm totally on board with the Skarsgård guy being Pennywise, because there was only just like a few minute clip, and he sold it good, and he was creepy, and I was like, oh my god, I can't wait for it. Bill Skarsgård is the guy that's playing Pennywise, and like I said, man, he looks creepy anyway. Yeah, he's a young, good looking guy, but he's creepy anyway, because he was pretty creepy in Atomic Blonde, but. September 8th, the movie that comes out. But the 1990 version, the first half, still holds up. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. You can go find it in the $7 bin, Blu-ray bin at Walmart, because that's where I got my copy. I have it on DVD and VHS somewhere, but I just wanted to upgrade. So, but it still holds up. Well, the first half does. The next movie I saw was Open Water 3, Cage Dive. This one just came out. When did it come out? I'm looking. Sorry, everybody. August 11th, a few days ago. It's on VOD and everything, but it's out there because that's where I saw it. I had no idea that this movie was even being made. Someone on the Horror Movie Night, somebody put up on that for that page for that awesome podcast. Check it out. Someone threw up a trailer for it, and I was like, oh, sweet. So I checked out. I liked the first two. Open Water, the first one, that one came out earlier, maybe somewhere earlier, 2000s, and then Open Water 2 came out in 2006. But this one, they jumped onto the found footage deal, and the first one I really enjoyed. I liked that one, just what they did. The second one was more of a big-budgeted movie, but just kind of fell short. But, I mean, I did like that one. But this one, other than the found footage thing, that I think were just well, don't get me wrong. There is awesome found footage movies. But this one just didn't. I don't think it needed it, but I liked what they were doing. It did fit into the story. These three friends are filming an audition tape for an extreme reality show. Take part in a shark cage diving, only to be left in great white infested waters, turning their recording into a life and death. I'm sorry, I'm reading this. To life and death. I'm reading the synopsis on IMDb. But this one, it's three friends. They're going out, like I said, or like I read, they're filming for the reality Survivor type of show, an audition tape. So if they're down in Australia having a good time, you know what? Well, let's go do this shark cage deal. So they go out there. They're having fun in the water. Great white sharks all around, crashing into the cave, and everyone's having a good time. But when they notice that the water's getting really rough, so one of them, the guy with the camera, goes up to the surface, and really quick you see this huge wave coming, and then it just capsizes the boat, flips over, everybody falls out. They kind of just, those three survive. Another guy survives, but then he gets taken down by a shark. The CGI shark action in this, I mean, there wasn't much, but the little that they did, I mean, whoever did the CGI, they did a good job with the shark stuff. They did use real shark footage when they were in the cage. Not all of it, but some of it. And it had potential to be good, but this movie made me not care for these characters. The main three, the girl, oh my God, she got on my nerves. I just couldn't wait for, I wanted someone to just feed her to the sharks, because she got on my nerves bad. But this movie, it is what it is. I mean, if you've seen the first two Open Waters and you're just kind of interested, check it out. If these found footage movies bother you with all the shakiness, then I'd say stay away from this, because when they're in water, the camera's all over the place. But it doesn't bother me too much. But yeah, check it out if you want. I was excited finding out that there was a third one, but when I see it, I'm like, okay. But I don't know. I don't want to ruin it for you. Check it out. But Cage Dive, I'll give you this little spoiler. There's only like a couple minutes of the cage, and then that's it. And then it kind of reminded me a little bit of both of the movies, the first two movies thrown into one. But it's out there. Check it out if you want. And that was Open Water 3, Cage Dive. The next movie, Annabelle Creation. The first one came out back in 2014, and this is just kind of one of the spinoff movies from The Conjuring world. That first one, I know people did like it, but that movie sucked. I mean, I didn't care for it. There was only one scene in it that spooked me out. So I went into this one kind of thinking, okay, is it going to be bad like the first one? And I was wrong. Man, this movie was awesome. I loved it. I mean, there has been reviews that people that didn't like it. It's getting a 7.3 rating on IMDb, but I thought it was good. It was a million times better than the first one. A lot of jump scares, a lot of creepiness with the Annabelle doll, but I liked this story. And there was a little something in this that I won't say that got me super hyped for what's to come in this Conjuring world. I was like, oh my god! I got so excited. And I got so excited, I didn't hear what the people were talking about. So I need to see this movie again, because I think it's going to be something. It is something big for what's coming. So I was pretty excited about that. I'm glad they didn't go into more detail of what's coming. So, but be on the lookout for that, because pay attention to what's being said in this certain scene, because you'll be excited. Because yeah, I was super excited for it, but I won't get into that until we find out more on what's coming. But I mean, overall, this movie was good. Several years after the tragic death of their little girl, a doll maker and his wife welcome a nun and several girls from a shuttered orphanage into their home, soon becoming the target of the doll maker's possessed creation, Annabelle. That's pretty much the storyline, but it's pretty good. I mean, you got some awesome performances by this one little chick. Her name is Lulu Wilson. She played Linda in the movie. If you had seen Ouija, The Origin of Evil, she was the little girl that was possessed in that. Now, I did like her in that one. And speaking of those movies, the first movie sucked. The second one was better, Origin of Evil. But there was a guy I haven't seen in a long time. He played the doll maker. His name was Samuel Mullins. That's his character in the movie. Anthony LaPaglia. I think that's how you say his name, or Paglia or something. I know he's done a lot of work and a lot of things, but I just haven't seen him in a movie in a while. So it was good to see him. This movie was a little heartbreaking right from the get-go. And it was like, oh, I knew it was coming, but it was sad. But the movie's good. I mean, I thought whoever wrote this kind of really must have watched the first one and said, I don't want to bore anyone with this. But I thought he did a good job. The writer is, I'm on the director's one. The writer is Gary Doberman. I think that's his name. He's done, looks like he did the screenplay for It and some other movies coming. And he wrote Annabelle, too. Well, he probably just didn't want everyone to hate him. So he came back with this. So that was cool. He just came back. And the director, David F. Sandberg, he's directed Lights Out. He also did the little short. And he's got some other movie coming up called Shazam. I have no idea what that is. Or is that the Shazam Captain Marvel movie?
No. Nah.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah. Huh. It's just rumored that he's going to be the director. But I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, man. I don't really want to get into this because, I mean, you guys should go see it. I mean, for you horror buffs, it's good. It's a million times better than the first one, and I'm definitely going to see this again, and I will buy it when it comes out. That's how much I loved it. At first, I was thinking, why they keep going backwards in this Conjuring realm with because the first time we hear Annabelle, they show her in the first one, and then they give us that movie and everything. But this one, there is another surprise in this that got me excited. I won't give it away, but it's towards the end. If you guys really know who the history of Annabelle, you'll be excited like I was. So just be on the lookout for that. But everyone, if you guys have any interest and you're a horror movie guy or gal, check out Annabelle Creation because I really enjoyed it. I want to see it again. Hopefully soon. I'm trying to get one of my friends to go, but I doubt if she will. But definitely I will see it again.
Yeah, I was listening to the IGN Movies podcast just the other day, and they were talking about it a little bit. And they were saying how, compared to other film franchises, they kind of shouted out The Mummy. Everybody's trying to kick off these connected universes, and they said that this Annabelle, they were talking about, they had seen it, and they said that they kind of, under the radar, are creating a really interesting and well-done shared universe.
I'm looking at box offices right now. Annabelle Creation got a $35.1 million this weekend. It's got a 69% on Rotten Tomatoes. Dunkirk is still kicking ass. That made $11.5 million. And that's got the seal of approval. That's at 93%. Nut Job only made $9 million. I'm sure it cost more to make that movie, but now people are liking 12%. The Dark Tower still making money, but not as good. It's only at 18%. That made 7.9. Was this the second weekend?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But Girls Trip is right under it. That's at 88%, and that's still making money, $6.6 million. And Spider-Man, still that Girls Trip and Spider-Man got that seal of approval, I guess, because Spider-Man's at 92, and that's still making money and everything. Atomic Blonde's last place. Only made $4.6 million. But, if you guys haven't seen Dunkirk, go see it, because that movie's amazing. Dark Tower, my friend wants to see it. She wants me to go, but if I go, it'd be mainly just to find the rest of the Easter eggs that I didn't see the first time. But
right.
As movies, that's it for me. Those are the only things I've seen.
I remembered one more. I'll just bring up real quick. Did you see Nerve?
No, not yet. I saw it streaming on one of those things. I want to watch it.
Yeah, it's up on Amazon. I checked it out.
Okay.
It's pretty good. I won't spoil it or anything, but we can come back and talk about it. It's pretty good, though, for what it is.
I'll check it out, and we'll talk about that next week. I wanted to see it when it was in the theater, but I just never made it out to it.
Okay, cool. Want to bounce right into Star Wars Moment of the Week. I kind of got away from doing the year thing. But with the Star Wars news, I might as well use that as the moment. This past week, there was Entertainment Weekly, which I still haven't received in the mail, but they revealed a bunch of new photos. Did you get a chance to check those out?
Yeah, I did. I saw them. Did you post them on the page?
Yeah, I did. I just reposted Star Wars, posted them. So I just reposted what they posted. Of note, there is a picture of a Porg actually in the Millennium Falcon sitting in front of Chewbacca. That's interesting. they look to be this movie's kind of like marketing item. They're super cute little birds, and I already know there's going to be pops of them. It looks like there's going to be a Target exclusive version flapping its wings. There's going to be a plush version that, you know, you press its tummy and it flaps its wings. So, I know people have mixed opinions on the Ewoks and Jar Jar Binks, but it looks like the Porgs are this movie's that.
I don't know. Those look stupid.
Oh, no, they're cute.
No,
so
they're not. I don't want cute, man. I want action and killing and all that in this one.
Right. Well, there's another shot of John Boyega's Finn. It looks like he's in one of those almost pod racing looking fighters that races across the that red desert in the trailer.
It is, because you can see the red in the picture on the left side of him.
Yeah, and there's a picture of the nun, I guess, caretakers of Acto Island, where Luke is. And I don't think this is too spoilerish if you hadn't read this, but I read that basically they tolerate Luke. They're basically like ancient caretakers of the island. They've been taking care of the island since probably since the formation of the Jedi. And they're not crazy about Luke being there, but they tolerate him. So, and they look like little fish alien nuns. So...
Oh, I don't know. the covers, I think the only one that got me super excited is the one with Luke on the front.
It's, right.
It's just a hooded Luke. It just his head, and the other one is Rey. Man, I love Rey to death. And, well, I guess she's holding Darth Vader's lightsaber, so I assume, well, Darth Vader, well, he was Darth Vader when he had that too, but it was Luke's, Anakin, but the last one who used it other than Luke was Darth Vader, because that's when Anakin was Darth Vader, so I'm going to call it Darth Vader's lightsaber, but yeah, man, I mean, it's cool to see these pictures and everything, but I hate when they start doing it as we get closer, because then they just start dropping all these images of this and that and get you all excited and just I'm always wrong.
Force Awakens and Rogue One, I was completely wrong with all my theories, so
I steer clear
looking
away.
Looking forward to being wrong again.
I steer clear away from everything. I just want, as soon as it comes out, I want to enjoy it. And, yeah.
Right. Force Friday, September 1st, only a couple weeks away now. Obviously, we got all the pops and the Black Series and the stuff coming out, so I'm looking forward to that. We got that. And then I'm guessing they'll probably mimic what they did with Force Awakens, and we'll get a final main trailer in October. So, most likely.
Yep, we'll see.
All right. Moving right along, might as well bounce on into collecting. Like I said, Force Friday's coming up. I'm getting excited for that. I've been doing the countdown on the Instagram at the Zsu. I did doing three a day, a pop, a Black Series, and a basic figure. And it's easy math, but I surprised myself just thinking about it yesterday that when I'm done with this countdown, it's going to be 93 photos in the month countdown. So it's quite a bit. So I've been out trying to get ahead and take as many photos as I can. I was down at the dunes yesterday taking photos. As far as personal pickups in collecting, as far as mystery minis hit this last week, I picked up a few. Got Luke Skywalker in a stormtrooper outfit, Chewbacca. Actually got a couple of those, but Mom's wanted one of those. So. With a fellow collector online, I made a deal to get the Vader, which was 1 in 72 boxes. So I traded Stormtrooper and Greedo, and that's a pretty great deal. But yeah, just collector community, so shout out. Are you pick up anything this week?
No, nothing. I just haven't even looked. I was looking for the It Pops, but right. I don't think those are out yet. Or are they?
Oh, yeah. They're hidden. I haven't personally seen them, but I've seen fellow collectors posting pictures of them. And they're doing a good job. I'll make sure to screenshot some and send them to you. But they're creating them. They look like they're in the sewer and looking out the little great hole, you know?
Yeah, those are the only ones I'm looking for right now.
Right. Onto sports. It's really slow, just about as slow as it gets during the sports year, especially with both our baseball teams out of it. The NFL season is obviously preseason. I got to say, this is one of the least excited I've been going into an NFL season. I still follow it. I still follow my Broncos, but it just seems like issue after issue for the league, and it's like outside of it. I know people are really divided on it, but it's really annoying, the thing that's going on with Kaepernick. It's like, take a knee, and like, we'd rather have a worse quarterback on our team. Like, this guy just went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and like, I get it. You know, there's people that have feelings on that, but I just don't get it. Why you'd rather have a losing team than a guy like that? You know, I don't want to get too political with it though, because we don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, if you know me, you know my whole stance on all that thing. And if you don't know, I could give a fuck. So, but that's me. Everyone's right for their own opinion. So, but yeah, football, we Raiders, we lost to the Cardinals. My cousins were down there. They were having a good time. And I don't know. I think it's just hard for me to get behind the team that I've invested so much into right now, knowing that they're leaving. I mean,
right.
And still people are, you're not going to hell no, I'm not following them to Vegas. Fuck you. But not the people that say this, but to the whole Raiders organization for taking my team. But
the Rock,
I don't know. We'll see.
The Rock, he took your team to Vegas. Ballers, season 3.
I still need to check that. I haven't seen that yet. But A's, yeah, we're out of it. So just got to finish it out. And just hopefully we get some good players for next season.
Hard Knocks on HBO. They're doing Joel's team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it's kind of funny. Their quarterback, Jameis Winston, he had his own issues in college, scandals, court issues, things like that. So Joel wasn't crazy about him ever joining the team, but I drafted him fantasy-wise, so I've always kind of followed him. I have him on my dynasty team. Hard Knocks. Obviously, it was like shocking like 10 years ago to hear these like football players cursing. It's not so shocking anymore, but the first episode of that is out, and new episodes on Tuesday if you're into Hard Knocks or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Some quick video game news really fast. Genesis, Sega looks like they're dropping their 85 built-in games system. I didn't really jump on board of the two Nintendo ones that came out, but I think I'm going to jump on this Sega Genesis one. It looks like it's coming with two controllers. It looks like how it looks, how it did with the cartridges and everything. So we'll see. 85 games. I don't know the whole 85 games, but I see Mortal Kombat's in there. I see Sonic. I don't know. Hopefully all the Sonics are in there. I'm hoping for a Kid Chameleon to be in there, and we'll see. I just didn't look on the list of games. So, but that looks pretty sweet. I'll definitely check that out when it comes out, or pick it up when it comes out. The next thing I saw that I thought was pretty awesome for you Android users, this little device that you hook up to your phone, and you can turn it into a Game Boy. If you haven't seen that, do check the Facebook, the East Society Facebook page. I have both videos for the Genesis and the Game Boy thing. It looks like the bottom half of a Game Boy, and you slide your phone into it. And if you still have your old Nintendo games, the first go-around, not the little other smaller versions, you can slide them in this thing and play it on your phone.
Wow.
It looks pretty sweet. It says for $50, and I think you can buy these already. Maybe if they get it for iPhones, maybe I'll pick it up. But if you are one of these gamers that still has all your old Game Boy games, man, cool. I still have my Game Boy that works, so I'm good at that. All these games, I have no idea where they are. I'm sure they're in the house somewhere. But if you go to flea markets or sometimes garage sales, man, people are selling these things really cheap. So before these things actually really, if they do get big, hit up all these flea markets and buy all those old games before the price goes up. Because if this little device hits, I think those little games at the flea markets are going to go back up to maybe not regular price, but maybe higher. I don't know. This is just what I'm thinking, but who knows? Maybe this will just be a little fad, but I think it's cool. I don't have an Android, but if I did, I would get it. And Sega Genesis, I'm definitely getting that when it's out. I don't know if it's out yet. I'll do some more research to see when it's coming, but it looks amazing, and I can't wait to get that.
Super Nintendo Sega Genesis. Biggie. Anyways, while we're on games, one I slept on telling you I really shouldn't have. Did you hear about the game Until Dawn?
I've heard of it, but I didn't look into it.
Yeah, I slept on telling you I really shouldn't have. It was free with PlayStation Plus in July, so that's over now. It's probably Goose Prince. It was free for that month. It's probably still only, I don't know. I can't see because it won't let me see since I have it on the PlayStation. But, yeah, it's like a horror-based video game, and it actually has actors in it. It has Elliot from Mr. Robot, Rami Malek, and Hayden Panettiere, and the one guy from... the first few seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's on there, so it's actually got an interesting cast of people, and it's like a horror-based game, like a cabin, like, you know, kind of under attack. What's that? Jason style, right?
What's the game called again?
Until Dawn. It'd probably come up under IMDb just because it has a cast like that. But based on what I played so far, oh, you'd love it. It's got all kinds of things where you're playing and all of a sudden, you know, something scary happens and, you know, makes you jump. And, yeah, it's like the whole idea of, like, the whole cabin, you know, attack. There's some... Jason-like type figure assaulting these youngsters.
Yeah, I'm looking at images of it. It looks cool.
Yeah, it looks like you'd definitely like it.
Can you buy the disc, or is it like just on the...
I think you can buy the disc. And then, like I was saying, on digitally, it's probably reduced because I got it for free during July. But I slept on playing it. Until just recently, so I was like, damn, I wish I would have played this. It's right up what you'd love.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
So, yeah, check it out. Anyways, on that note, ready for recommendations?
Yeah, go for it.
Cool. I'm going to go with something rather on the new side because it just hit HBO this last Saturday, and now it's on HBO Go. I know a lot of people have access to HBO Go, either, you know, your own account or you can get a login from somebody somewhere. So it's out there. It's, you know, you can access it. But Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the spinoff of the Harry Potter series. Obviously, I talked about it when it first came out. And then when we talked about our top movies last year, I brought it up again. But yeah, I just got to say again, I really enjoyed this, and I kind of, when I first went to see it, I wasn't sure, like, how it was going to be and if they'd be able to pull it off, but there's only about, like, two or three references to anything that happened in Harry Potter, it really stands on its own as a story. It's just in that like magic wizarding world. And just great performances, and you really get to feel for the characters, and I'm really looking forward to the next one. So yeah, I just wanted to make sure and recommend it to everybody. Now that it's out there, you can easily see it on HBO Go. So yeah, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Definitely check it out. You'll be surprised if you've kind of been on the fence about it.
Yeah, I want to watch it. I did want to see it in the theater, just never made right. around to it. The movie I'm going to pick is, we just had its yesterday, the 35th anniversary of the 1982 3D classic Friday the 13th Part 3. This is the first time, the first movie in the whole series when we get Jason Voorhees in a hockey mask, his signature hockey mask. And I put up a little post yesterday about this. For you kids that don't know, if it wasn't for a character, Shelley, played by the hell, Larry, what's his nuts? I can't remember his last name. There would be no hockey mask Jason. Larry Zerner, he's the actor that was Shelley. And Shelley is actually the one that brought the hockey mask to Higgins Haven. And when he killed Shelley, he took the hockey mask, and that's what we got. We got that awesome scene when we first see Jason in the hockey mask, when he walks up onto the pier and takes out what's her nuts? What the hell was her name? Vera, I think that was her name. No, I don't know. Sorry guys, I know my Friday the 13th history, but I can't remember everyone's name. But when she got shot in the face with the spear gun, awesome effect. It looks corny as hell, but for you OGs that were there in 82 when it came out, and you guys saw it in 3D, the real 3D, not this DVD Blu-ray 3D shit, the red and blue one, that's horrible. The original polarized version of this film. There is prints of this, and they're having 35th anniversary screens all over the place. So if you're near one, I wish I was, do go see this in the true polarized 3D. It's an amazing movie. The movie's corny, like all of them are, but the only way to really appreciate this is to see it in its original 3D format, because it's awesome. I mean, this is in the days where everything was coming at you no matter what. I mean, stupid things like there's a scene where a guy's pointing a stick, actually a clothesline pole stick, towards the camera for no reason, and we got just eyeballs flying at the screen. We got spears coming at you. We got Jason coming at you in 3D, and blood and guts dripping at you and everything, man. It's even yo-yos and popcorn are coming at the screen. But it's amazing. And this is a true classic. I mean, just because we get Jason in the hockey mask, and it's an awesome movie. I do wish I had it on Blu-ray. I lagged on buying that box set that they put out, and then it's out of print now. So any of you millionaires want to buy me a gift, my birthday is next month. I would like that Friday the 13th tin Blu-ray box set that's out of print. So I think there's another box set coming, which I hope. I'm wishing that Paramount would just do it and just put out the Paramount years like they did with the DVDs. But who knows? We'll see. Hopefully they do put out a box set with all of them, all on Blu-ray. Because they're on Blu-ray. There's versions you can buy where it's just, I think there's like four movies on a disc or something like that. I don't know. They're out there, but I don't want those. I want the individual discs. But we'll see. But yeah, Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D came out August 13th, 1982, 35th anniversary. Check it out if you haven't seen it. And there's no spoilers, because I'm sure it's, if you haven't seen it by now, I mean, you know what it is. But check it out.
Awesome. My random track for this week is Lupe Fiasco's Hood Now, the outro from Food and Liquor 2. I always say this, but if you've been listening since the start to our Get Down episode, way back last year. You know that Lupe Fiasco is one of my favorite artists. Can't remember how many times I've used a song of his on Song of the Week, probably only once or twice before, if that. But Hood Now, from the Food and Liquor 2 album. Obviously, from start to finish, he hasn't, you know, his first two albums were pretty classic, Food and Liquor and then The Cool. But after that, it was kind of hit and miss, even Food and Liquor 2. But love the final outro track. And it's funny it's called an outro track, but it is a full-length track. It's like 6 minutes, but it's a song I never get tired of when I'm flipping through my music and it lands on it. I'm like, okay, yeah. So great beat, great chorus. Yeah. Lupe Fiasco's Hood Now.
All right. Mine is from the 1984 album by Mercyful Fate. This is a track called Dangerous Meeting. It's an awesome track. If you're a Mercyful Fate King Diamond fan, do check this out. Don't Break the Oath. Awesome album. If you just want Devil and Hell and Satan and all that, this is the album to pick up because this album rocks. But yeah, Dangerous Meeting, that's my track this week. And I'm probably going to listen to it right after.
There you go.
I head out. So yeah, Mercyful Fate, Dangerous Meeting.
Sounds good. Last week, if you listened, we hinted at giveaway the Ghost in the Shell digital copy. You still want to do that, right, Inez?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I slept on it this last week, but do you... I know we're putting it on wax, but do you have a feeling if next week you want to record on Monday or Tuesday? Because that's when we'll end it. I'll post it either today or tomorrow, and then we'll end it. Next show. So do you want to shoot for next Monday or next Tuesday for the next show?
It'll have to be Tuesday because Monday is the first day of school.
Okay.
For Eric. So let's shoot for August 22nd when we record it.
Okay. We'll shoot for that and then we'll close it when we're recording. So, and I'll, like I said, I'll either post that today or tomorrow. By the time you hear this, it'll be up. As far as new movies coming out this week, actually pretty good week for movies. Got Logan Lucky and The Hitman's Bodyguard. I'm hoping to see both of those, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know what's coming. I'll see something. If anything, Logan Lucky.
Right.
That Hitman's Bodyguard, I don't know. But
I don't know. It might be funny. I could see it being funny. It's funny the way they're trying to market it, saying it's... Deadpool and Nick Fury. So, I don't know. They kind of got me with that.
I don't know. We'll see. I'll see something. If anything, I'll see Annabelle again. But,
right.
Yeah, I don't know what's coming out. I'll look into it. But other than that, man, I ain't got nothing else.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for checking us out. And as always says, you know, check out all the other shows, MacNed Podcast, Big Guys, all that. And thanks for listening. And I'll just leave you with Death is the enemy, the first enemy and the last.